Check 1, 2. Testing. All right. Check. All right. Listen, motherfuckers. Check.
How are we doing
Whoa,
right here?
That's a sexy mic.
How are we doing
Whoa.
Right here?
A little bit better.
How are we doing?
Take a picture of that, baby. Look at that. We're rolling. I want to push this button. I should go? Fucking go. And welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the InnerTubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now and God will bless your soul.
There's no God.
Okay, subscribe now or no God will bless your soul.
Of course, no God will bless their souls because there's no God.
Okay, do it or Steve Hill will kick your ass.
Now that's something I can believe in.
We only have 2 rules on the show. Rule number 1, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number 2, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content. And certainly has nothing for you churchy church and cunt. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Steve Hill, Jeremiah Kamara, and Stephen Paul Leyva. You know these guys from showbiz.
And the world of reason.
How are you guys? Welcome to the
show.
What's up?
Hey,
thanks for being here.
Oh, wouldn't miss it. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
I like the fact that you can plug anything.
You can plug. We can plug anything. Anything you want. What would you like to plug?
I want to plug a dike.
Careful how you phrase that.
I mean like the little Dutch boy.
Oh, okay. Careful how you phrase that.
You went from lesbian to pedophile. No, I mean,
yeah.
No, I don't want to plug the little. Like the little. I've always wanted to save a city that was below sea level. And if global warming continues, I'm going
to
have a good.
You need
choice.
To head to New Orleans.
Yeah, you need to hang out in New Orleans, man. It'll happen again.
Yeah, anyway, I always thought that would be fun.
That would be fun.
So how are you guys? How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good, man. I'm tired. Shit.
Steve has been.
We're on tour.
You are. You're on tour with a movie, aren't you, man?
Yes, indeed.
It's pretty great. Indeed. The movie is Contradiction.
Yes.
As the shirt says.
Yes.
And I've seen it. Well, I've seen it in total one time. I watched it all the way through.
Right.
And over at the Steve Allen Theater.
Correct.
And you guys are running around showing it as many places as will have you, I guess.
Yes. We are on the Autobahn riding with Steve. I'm getting here. If I'm shaking, that's why.
Don't worry. Don't worry. thanks for at the last minute. We had this show booked up, and then I had a dropout at the last minute today, as you know, Steve.
Yes.
And we were going to do a special show to get you on. I don't know if we were Monday or Sunday. I can't remember.
No, we were going to do it Sunday after the assembly.
After the Sunday assembly.
Yeah.
And which we're going to talk a little about Sunday assembly, by the way, today.
Absolutely.
The movie is phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. The message is a long time coming.
Yes.
And it's nice to see it being
said.
Long
time coming.
Now let's tell the listeners / viewers.
Before you even tell them, I just wanted to say that it's really great to see a movie like this because this is something that nobody gets to see. No one gets to see how... the thoughts between the atheists, the black atheists, and then the thoughts...
Blatheists.
The Blatheists, and then the black religious people come together and in one movie. I mean, it's really brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, Blatheists, I like that term.
That's a nice term.
Yeah, I like that. I like that term.
So let's talk about the movie.
Okay.
First of all, give us the brief summary of what the movie's about.
Well, there's a peculiar... consistency that one cannot help but notice when riding through predominantly African-American neighborhoods throughout the country, and that's the saturation of churches coexisting in the midst of powerlessness, deprivation.
Hopelessness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Despondency on all levels.
Right.
And so many would claim that, you know, God exists within these holy facilities.
Right.
So the question then becomes, if God dwells within these holy facilities, then why are the surrounding areas laden with so many problems?
Poverty.
Right. And so we're asking, is there a correlation between high praise and low productivity?
Wow.
Wow.
And so this is the gist of the movie.
Right.
Did people, anyone get offended when you asked them that?
Well, I mean, they've suffered from some cognitive dissonance, you know, once we got into the movie and we presented some stuff. But I didn't try to, I just really asked the questions and had them answer it. I didn't try to ask the question and then answer it and then argue and debate, because, I mean, you can't really debate with belief. If you're coming from a standpoint of knowledge, you can't bait with believers. So I just let them have the stage and kind of let the documentary tell itself.
I watched the movie, and I was just wondering how many of the religious folk that you interviewed considered you a heathen for asking them those questions.
Well, I don't know.
You think they did?
Yeah, they may have. But, I mean, we tried to come in the presence of respect and you know, to have respect for those who believe the way that they do. But at the same time, we were trying to inform them, and I may have been, you know, a heathen afterwards, but the show had to go on despite that.
I have another question, sorry. Did you find that people were in disbelief? I mean, did anyone ask you if you believed in God and what you thought? And were there, like, people who would say things like, I'll pray for you because I don't believe
in God? I get that, but I mean...
It didn't seem like you put that in the movie, and that's why she's asking about it.
Yeah, well, we're able to approach people because we said, you know, we have some questions. We're doing a documentary that's dealing with the impact of faith in the Black community. So that kind of got us in the door.
Which is true.
And so we kind of let it tell itself. I didn't want to, you know, cherry pick. We went to believers, non-believers, you know, male, female, just everybody. We just, it kind of told itself.
Yeah. Well, I imagine... Once the movie really gets out there, you're currently submitted, I believe, to Sundance, right?
Yes, we have submitted to Sundance. So we're waiting on, you know, to hear from them the first week of December. We'll know whether or not we're eligible for competition.
Right. And I presume you're also submitting to the others on the circuit as well, right? The other festivals?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot that we didn't make the deadline because we had to make some last-minute changes.
Right.
And but we do have the Pan-Africanist Film Festival here in Los Angeles that they actually, you know, waived the late entry for us because they wind up seeing the documentary and Karrasht Unity Center. Mm-hmm. And they liked it so well, they went and called the head of that of the Pan-Africanist Film Festival. And they said, this is a dynamite film. I think that you need to make an exception, and he took their word and made an exception.
That's
so
great.
We're going to be entering into that too.
Cool, cool.
That's great.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You have a lot of questions.
I have lots of questions.
Is that because you're a Blathiest?
That's because I'm a Blathiest.
This shit just pours out of Blathiest people. Is that right? Is that what you're saying, Heather?
Yeah,
you're
a
Malathiest.
Malathiest. my mother was a white woman, and she brought me up in the church, but. When I was young, I remember being brought to a primarily Black church with all the hooting and hollering and all that stuff. And we only stayed there for a little while. I don't know. I think it was a Black church member that coaxed my mom to go to this other church that happened to be a white church. And so we went on from there. But I didn't have that much experience in the Black church. So it's really interesting to me to see this movie and how all these people react to your questions.
Mm-hmm. That means you escaped.
I went to a church called the Jesus Center,
which
was run by a white, long-haired rock and roller who played the electric guitar and had a band instead of a choir. So it was the whole flip side.
Mm. Cool. Sounds better than a...
Sounds better than what?
Sounds like y'all should have got a group together.
Well, they did. They had a youth group band.
This hits close to home for you. I mean, you... Talking to Steve here. Ever since meeting you, you and I have talked about the frustration you have with regard to the Black community, right?
Yeah, because of the extreme lack of support, you know, with such a high percentage of number of African-Americans being affiliated with the Black church due to our culture,
right,
which was handed to us by our slave owners.
There we go.
Like, can we worship the same God of the people who... enslaved us like a bunch of fucking idiots.
Now, that's another way to put what the movie's about.
Yeah, but I like to be a little bit more direct. You know,
I see
you can
that.
Take some comedic liberties to express yourself in a slightly different manner.
Yes.
But Yeah, I mean, there's questions to be asked, and nobody's asking them. Why is crime so prevalent in our community?
Yeah.
Why is the prison population so fucking high? Why do we have so many liquor stores? Yeah. Why do we have so many fatherless homes?
Uh-huh.
You know, and then they bitch and complain, but they don't provide any jobs. Well, they don't provide any fucking hope.
The Republicans claim it's because that's where all the black people are.
Yeah.
Well, that's fucked up, Emery.
Nothing.
But it must be that must be black communities are full of atheists because atheists have no morality.
There you go.
Right.
So, yeah. Wait a minute. It's full of churches.
Yeah. Well, what we're doing is the church is the center of the black community. It's the most visible. Yeah. It's the most visible institution in the black community, and it centers around the notion that this God can intervene in the affairs of our lives and come down and make our lives better.
Right.
Okay, so by virtue of that, we have to hold the church accountable. It makes the biggest claims. That's one heck of a claim. But not only are we holding the churches accountable, but we're holding that claim accountable. Mm-hmm. So if prayer, worship, belief, love of God, faith, trust in Jesus, commitment to the church, all of these things, if these things were in fact beneficial, then where exactly are we benefiting? And so if God can come down from heaven and, you know, wave a wand and take us on a carpet ride to a magical place, why aren't we doing better? So we need to hold not only the churches accountable for their rhetoric that they keep repeating over the, you know, last 100 years, but also that claim. Let's hold that claim. It says, ask and ye shall receive, knock and the door shall be open, seek and ye shall find. And we know that that is just not the case.
And you filmed, I think at least two women, if not more, in your film, they believe it's working. I mean, that's the thing that just strikes me.
Well, they can convince themselves that it's working. That's the power of the mind.
Right.
That's
right.
The placebo. Right. You can take right. that sugar pill and actually believe that it cures your headache. So they're believing that, but they're not looking at it in the context of a group sense.
Right. I would like to read you a little bit of a... it's not a meme. It's a somebody wrote, a woman, black woman, wrote back to, I'm guessing, another black atheist talking to him about... her
yeah,
religion.
We have some very interesting debates.
She said a bunch of things, but she also said, slavery happened to us because we were sinners and worshiping other gods and not the real God. We were stupid when we was in Africa worshiping dirt and rocks. So anyway, the good thing about slavery is that we were given the choice to accept God's love.
Wow.
Now let me tell you something, Heather. That? When we were worshiping those rocks and mud. What did you say?
Rocks
we were
and mud? Dirt. Dirt and rocks.
But guess what? When we were doing it, guess what?
What?
We were fucking free.
Yeah, we were free.
Yeah, roger that.
I didn't say this. This is some lady.
Get her ass on the phone.
It's also... she's also ignorant, I think, of African culture, because nobody in African culture was worshiping dirts and rock. That's just...
Exactly.
That's a blatantly ignorant...
She's making
the difference
she's
between
making excuses.
Worshiping dirt and rocks and practicing animism, which was different to see religion in objects and things like that.
Right.
But, I mean, I've heard this argument before that we weren't doing the correct thing and we were turned our backs on God and all that stuff. Well, I want to know what the enslavers, how were they doing God's will? I mean, you know, if you're coming to enslave, then who's really the bad guy here?
Well, let me just answer that for you, because I've read the Bible. They were doing what the Bible condones.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, that's what blows my fucking mind.
So why are all these black people defending the fucking Bible that basically enslaved them?
Of the Ten Commandments, four of them are decent tenets. The rest are the psychotic ramblings of an ex-girlfriend. And that's what it is.
And they leave out slavery.
Right,
they leave out rape.
They leave out child molestation. They leave out, you know, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So it stuns me. It doesn't... I mean, talk about cognitive dissonance from the get-go. Now, what struck me in the movie, and I don't think we're in danger of any spoiler alerts here.
Let's talk about it. You've seen the movie. Let's talk about
it. What struck me in the film, really hit me in the forehead, was the concept I had never thought of, heard of, or knew, and that is that the churches in slave days, those speeches, those presentations that the sermons. Preachers, the sermons that the preachers gave, they had to be okayed by the slave owners.
Yeah.
The slave owners were dictating what the preacher was saying to the slaves in the church in the slave days.
Yeah, well, what happened during around 1705, 1710, what they noticed that the importation of Africans to North America had reached its peak. It was coming, you know, in you know, pretty fast. And so they needed someone to govern their churches because, you know, there were people that was coming in, you know, importation coming in very quickly. And so the first churches were under white supervision, and they were made to preach a particular doctrine that was serving the best interest of the master.
Wow.
And so that's what we had. And there were, what a lot of people don't realize is there were laws. There was a difference between an enslaved black and a Christian enslaved black. And so you actually did what you had to do to receive less lashes.
Yeah.
You know, there were laws. There in 1667, there was a law passed in Virginia that says that God was indeed on the side of the slave master and that God himself had rendered the slaves inferior. And this is something that they believed and something that they practiced, and they just look forward to the next life. And you still see those tendencies and the vestiges of that still remaining today.
I got to say, because when Emory, when they posted who were going to be the other guests here, and I clicked onto the trailer because I haven't seen the film, and I was very excited because I have for years, and my wife can tell you this, was always bemused as to the whole black church phenomenon, because it was the white people that, you know, people like Emory here, who brought...
Emory was in on that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he was in on it. He
got a mirror, motherfucker.
No. I'm brown. Now,
part of the Chavez crew.
I'm going white because I got vitiligo, you see.
Ah.
So I share that with some of my African brothers.
Michael Jackson got to say.
Hey, give it time, man. You're growing some privilege there.
Can you dance?
I can't dance shit, man. But the white people bring the blacks up here and put them into misery and then give them the church to sway their misery.
Yeah, they convince us that we're going to be fine.
Why can't anybody see that? But then it's used as, look, Christianity is great because it was the church that led for civil rights and it was the church that was against slavery. And that's only half the story.
Yeah, the Puritans, you know, were the people that came along and said, hey, you know, we're against slavery.
Uh-huh.
Let's abolish this thing. And they used their beliefs in Jesus, you know, as the basis for their abolitionist views. You know, so this is where that was just one small segment.
Right.
And then it was also, you know, but we're still superior than you all, but we think you should be free.
But that was a small segment that didn't necessarily have an economic
interest
in the game.
Right, of course.
This particular equation is an amazing example of the power of indoctrination. I mean, just profound.
It basically enslaves your mind.
Right.
Once somebody has your mind, you're fucking through.
That's exactly
right. They can have you robbing banks and shit.
All right, more talking shit about this shit after this shit. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com /Emory Emory. That's G-U-M as in mulatto. Okay, I'm not even going to go through all this.
You always do that.
ROAD.com/Emory Emory and buy the stupid thing.
That's right, gumroad.com/Emory Emory if you want to get some Vile comedy. The fastest growing nail is on the middle finger. There you have it. Natural selection favors road rage.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Steve Hill, Jeremiah Kamara, and Stephen Paul Leyva. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you. Oh,
thank you.
And all right, listen. It's a compelling movie. It's a moving film, and it's shocking.
Extremely informative.
It's shocking because there's so much in it that we really just don't think about. People, white and black community, just don't think about this equation. And you know, atheism has only recently become something that people can feel comfortable talking about publicly anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
Atheism is the new gay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, we have the phrase coming out of the closet as atheist in our community, and the reason is because in the community at large, atheists are thought of as one of the least trusted groups.
The least trusted.
Why is that, do you think, Emery?
Well, I think it's because we eat babies.
I was just about to go there.
I wonder where that originated.
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly why I think that is. It is a comedy show, so I'm going to do the joke, but then I'll give you the answer. The answer is because the religious indoctrination creates a false dichotomy. If you aren't religious, if you don't believe in God, you're not someone who just doesn't agree, but you're someone who is inhabited by Satan. That is where it all comes from. That's why the distrust is so profound.
You have no restrictions on you. You have no morality. You can't be trusted.
How can you be a good person?
But just think, all those thoughts manifest themselves in the mind of a believer.
Yes.
So from step one, from the initial concept, they're thinking it's fucked up.
No question. It's a house of cards. The whole thing is built on absolutes that are simply not provable, and in my opinion, very clearly not true.
Well, and certainly built on ignorance.
Yeah.
The people who say that, and I think that it was only 17% of Americans would trust an atheist or whatever that was. Somebody will put it up on the wall of reason, I'm sure. But it is a lack of knowledge, and it's usually that's answered in the negative by people who've never met or talked with an atheist and doesn't assume they ever will.
Yeah.
Right. But like what's happening where if suddenly you have gays in your family and gays in your neighborhood and you like them and they're cool, suddenly you're for gay marriage.
Yeah, all of a sudden gays aren't axe murdering people, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. And there, I read something a while back where someone was sure that the prisons were full of atheists.
Yeah.
Where actually there was, maybe opposite. 3%.
I can guarantee you that's as a 10-year correctional officer, I can guarantee you there was a whole lot of religious black guys who would argue with me, the guy in charge of their cell block, about Jesus. I'm like, you do understand the perspective you're arguing with me from, right?
There is one God here and I am it.
Right. Do you want to roll a toilet paper or not?
But you know, I think another reason why atheists get demonized, I think that actually people who believe, I think they're actually resentful that the fact that they are believing and subscribing to such lunacy. And I think that...
But resentful of what?
Well, resentful of the fact that they have to believe something as opposed to knowing something. If you look at how we evolved, you know, it was better for us to know whether or not an animal was lurking in the bushes during our hunting and gathering days, as opposed to believing that it was hurting. So belief is inherently dangerous. And because we are forced and bullied into believing that somebody walked on water and somebody made you from a bone and took a rib and someone's watching you, because you are forced to believe that, I think there's some built-in resentment, and so the atheist becomes that target that says, you are the antithesis of my craziness, and therefore I'm going to make you out to be a demon and, you know, possessed by Satan and stuff like that, because I resent having to believe this craziness.
You know, well, I don't know if it's resentfulness as much as unconscious or subconscious understanding that it's just damn silly.
Well, let me say
but
this.
But that just could be parsing words there that, you know, yeah. One, I'm not saying anything different from what you're saying.
Yeah, that's...
But also you're talking about the belief, is there an animal in the brush or do I know it? But there is a theory now that faith and belief came from evolutionarily that we ascribe causes to phenomenon we don't quite know yet. So therefore, if a bush moves, it's better to believe there's a dangerous animal there and get the fuck out than to go check.
Well, not only...
As you get where you can check without killing yourself, that's where knowledge comes
in. Well, not only are we obviously... I agree with that. We're hardwired for belief because it has helped us move forward in the selection process. An interesting thing happens, though, that I think it's the next level of that, and that is that... And I used to be a believer, by the way. Am I the only one here?
No.
Okay.
No, I think...
Yes. I mean, no. If no. he's...
Yeah. I'm a ex-believer.
Okay.
Also.
So, as a believer, I didn't think I...
He's a reclaimer.
I didn't... Roger that. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I believed something at one point. At one point, I went over the edge to this other completely absurd place and started believing that I knew that stuff. And there are great techniques that churches play on us. The whole emotional Holy Spirit experience and the speaking in tongues and all of those things, those help turn what we think, what is obviously belief, into we now know, because they are convincing you that that is evidence of the belief. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And
they're
so,
very secure and solid in their ignorance and supported and backed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have confident ignorance.
Right, which is the worst.
Which is the worst.
It doesn't
Isn't
get
it?
Any worse.
Which is the absolute worst.
Yeah.
The biggest trick ever.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard a Jew speak in tongues? In tongues?
Well, you know, Yiddish almost sounds like
well,
that.
Well, no. He says, I'll have coleslaw with that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to walk on your punch.
So, atheist eating babies comes from the Christian/Catholic false accusation that enemies of Christ murder children for ritualistic purposes.
Oh, that's right, yes.
There is actually, that's where it's rooted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the picture of the kid looking are you eating me? Don't eat me!
It also says Christianity has a strong vampire blood fetish. So it's no surprise.
Yeah.
And of course, in the Catholic Church now, the priests try to have the children eat them, actually.
Oh, God!
Totally reversal of the whole idea.
You get thrown out of church with jokes like that.
Churches creep me out. Now, I've been an atheist since my late teen years, and we weren't from a religious family. But and maybe it's just me, but churches have always creeped me out, which we'll talk about when you talk about Sunday Assembly.
Yeah, well, we're going to go to Sunday Assembly.
Yeah, we'll go to
let's
Sunday
talk
Assembly.
About it now.
Yeah.
Are you attending Sunday Assembly?
No.
No?
One, it's sold out. 400 seats. They had to go to a larger venue.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
And as you know, I'm a member of Atheist United, which also meets at the Steve Allen Theater. In fact, I'm now on the board of directors, because I guess I had a lot of spare time.
Chair dropper.
Yeah. Anyway, and we meet every fourth Sunday, but we have lectures and it's a social gathering, and there's a purpose for that. But there's something about this that came out of England, and there was something about just calling it an assembly that gave me all those feelings I got whenever I had to go into a church, and churches creep me out.
Well,
I don't know why.
Listen, they went with Sunday Assembly because they're trying to get away from language that bothers the rest of us, and that's the word church.
But so, there's the Assemblies of God, and there's...
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
I see.
But just look at assembly in the true definition of the word.
Yeah,
you're just going to assemble.
Yeah.
They'll say you're going to assemble and start worshiping people.
Right. So, no, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be fine, but I'm just.
I'm still not convinced it's going to be fine. I'm still not convinced it's going to be
fine.
Well,
I'm sort of where you are.
You put the term Sunday and assembly together.
Yeah, you put it together. Meet on Saturday.
More church connotations to it.
Then you're a Jew.
Right, right.
Meet on Friday night with a lot of weed.
Thursday.
You don't need a place to gather for that.
Thursday is a day atheists should meet.
Why do you pick Thursday?
It just sounds like an atheist day.
Thursday.
Because it sounds like thirsty and atheists like to drink.
Right.
Is that right?
Well,
all right.
There's not me. I'm dry.
There's a cartoon going around where it's three panel and you see a Catholic person praying in front of a large cross. You see a Muslim bowing down. And this is on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see the atheist with an A on his shirt drinking a beer.
Yeah.
That's what we do on Sundays.
That's what we do.
Yeah. And they should serve beer at the assembly, but, you know, we're not going to go
there.
Did you
hear about the church that...
I went to the one in New York, and it was in a bar, and they served beer. And
it was awesome.
They used slightly colorful language, and it was packed. And I saw no one get up and leave until it was over.
Did you hear about the church that's trying to bring people in by serving homebrewed beer?
Sounds like a good idea.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to legalize pot pretty soon. Then you'll be able to get the kids in church.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good God.
We'll be turning people away at the church.
You'll already have the alcohol with the crackers.
Right. And instead of passing the plate, they'll be passing the joint. Or along with passing the plate.
That's not a cracker. That's a slice of flesh.
Now, there's been one story told by Lee Moore and someone else who was associated with the Sunday Assembly
I read that.
New York.
Yeah.
And he was one of the guys who started it out, him and someone else. And then they developed this board this advisory board, which they were on. And what happened, according to Lee, is some in the group started to... wanting to fashion the Sunday Assembly so that you didn't use words like atheist.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, it's turning into this different kind of thing.
Right.
Right or wrong, I'm not even going to make that judgment. I'm going to Sunday Assembly on Sunday. I'll make the judgment after I've seen what happens here. I know that here in L.A., the guys who I like all the folks that are putting this together. I want to be very clear about this. I've also invited them to come on the show to talk about what they're doing.
We've had a couple of representatives.
We have. And so...
Did Ian come?
Ian was here.
Okay.
Ian Dodd.
Cool. Yeah. I talked to him about
one of the things they want to do, which really appeals to me in the broad sense, is
strippers?
No.
Sorry.
That's the dame sense. In the bigger picture, they want to put together something that is appealing to a younger group. You know what I mean? And even families and kids, in other words. Not just like teenagers, right?
Right.
I don't think you have to work at teenagers. They don't fucking care about religion, generally, currently.
Do you
our
think
society.
They'll care about Sunday
in
Assembly?
South, in the South, they do.
In the South, they do?
In the South, they're forced to. I don't think it's a church in the South that doesn't have a youth
group
or what they call a youth ministry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's very prevalent. So they're still out recruiting and stuff like that. I mean, Eddie Long, okay, he had a group of youth. He's one of the big mega church preachers there in Atlanta, and he was taking them all over the world and got caught doing some rather unscrupulous things. So
ungodly things?
Yeah, some ungodly things. So the youth,
what did he get caught doing? I'm curious. I don't know the story.
Well, he was accused of molesting boys and taking them around the world and all of this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's
now wait a minute.
This was
and they were called Longfellows.
But that wouldn't be unscrupulous. It would be scrupulous, wouldn't it? Scrupulous.
He likes the puns.
He likes the word puns.
He does the word
wordplay.
That's what Stephen Paul Leyva brings to the table, folks. Now, I don't know anything about that story. Are we talking about an evangelistic group? Is that what this guy is?
No, we're just talking about one of the big mega church, probably the second largest church in Atlanta.
Christian, not Catholic, right?
Christian, Baptist, missionary Baptist church.
Right.
In Lithonia, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, and I think it's the second largest church next to Creflo Dollar.
Next to who?
Creflo Dollar. Creflo A Dollar or Klepto A Dollar. who heads World Changers Ministry.
Yeah.
There. So, yeah, so, I mean, the youth is very involved. There's a lot of youth ministries, a lot of activity going on with the youth. It just depends. I mean, here you got that element in Los Angeles that's a little more free-thinking and forward, but you don't see that dynamic in the South.
Yeah, I'm in a bubble, I guess, aren't I? And I grew up in the Midwest.
There are two different Americas.
There are.
You are aware of that, right?
Yeah, I've heard.
Okay.
Eminem told me.
Just want to clear that up.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. I'm depressed. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. So be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Thinking about your muscles can make them stronger. I need to think more about my penis.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe, and we're talking with Steve Hill, Jeremiah Kamara, and Stephen Paul Leyva. I always had trouble saying your name the first couple times you were on.
Yes, everybody does.
I have it now. I've got it down.
They say Leva or Lewis or...
Everybody Levi. Screws it up?
Oh, almost everybody.
Someone needs to make a name song for you then. I didn't know that. Because, you know, we had... Do you know who I'm talking about? Prashanth Venkataramanajam, who I can say easily now. And the only reason I can say his name so well is because we made his song. And this was his intro.
You may know, he's named after his mom.
If it's too hard for you, split the name in two. It starts with a V and ends with an N. He'll do it in your bum. Try saying it when you come.
Oh, Venkataramanajam.
Whose penis are you seeing right now? You all right, Steve?
Nobody.
He's our jum.
An East Indian word, it sounds a little absurd.
Venkataramanajam. He's our jum.
If you're trying to learn but can't, you can just call him Prashant.
Venkataramanajam. Venkataramanajam.
If that one trips you up too, you can just call him Cecil.
Venkataramanajam.
I got to get him back on the show.
Yeah.
We had him on once, and I fucked his name up so bad. And I was worried about fucking up his name. It's, you know, when you're hosting, you don't want to do that, you know?
Doesn't he have a nickname? You could just
no.
He does. He does. But
hey, you.
I wanted to get it right. And I walked around the house all day. I went online. I found him saying it on a video, so I knew how it was pronounced in the, you know, in the Indian tongue. And I walked around the house all day, Venkataramanajam, Venkataramanajam, and then I get on the show, and it's just brain shit. And and then we had him on the 100th episode, and we Shelley Siegel came over and recorded that. She hangs out with
Shelley.
Oh,
Shelley.
I love Shelley.
Yeah,
she's
we
fantastic.
Love Shelley.
And she was hanging out here, and so we one night, 4 in the morning, we all penned that out, and I don't know that anybody has ever written a 1 minute 15 second song as an intro for a guest, but that's how we intro him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I can't wait till you write mine.
Yeah, Steve Hill. It's a hard name to say.
Steve Hill.
Put cum in it. It'd be all right.
Man, you don't like the visuals on the penis and the cum and the thing.
If we're writing songs, let's get it right.
I keep telling people, Leva is very easy. It's Hawaiian lay at a va.
Yeah.
L-E-I is lay, mm-hmm. lay, va. But
Stephen Paul Leva.
Leva.
Everyone does Leva.
Yeah.
So it's Leva.
It's Leva.
Always Leva.
Leva.
And it's not Camera.
No, it's not Camera.
Right.
It's Kamara.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that one, to me, that's obvious.
But if you spell it, you'll get it better. C-A-M-A-R-A. You know, and that's
oh, nice,
you
right.
Get
that's
like
a good one,
there.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds like a car.
You were singing a song about his name earlier.
What was I singing? I can't remember.
Camera.
Yeah, it was really stupid.
Jeremiah was a camera.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. Jeremiah was a camera.
But then you said it.
I used to
evolved.
Sing out with my mom.
You've
what?
Evolved.
But you've evolved. Nice. Now you have two, what is it, lenses?
Two lenses. Yeah.
He's in high def now.
He's a 3D,
stereo.
He's a 3D camera.
Right.
3D Kamara.
What made you do this film? I mean, that's. I'm a filmmaker. I did The Aristocrats. I work in the media, in the medium a lot, and now I work in television as well. You know, I'm always interested in what it was that brought you to make a film like this, because this is tough. This is a tough film to make. I imagine you're in the black community. You know how people react to this discussion.
Yeah.
What's the story?
Well, you know, you couldn't have a courage deficit disorder and do this.
No, absolutely not.
I think my slave sermons, I have 43 episodes of slave sermons. So if you go to slavesermons.com, you'll see my 43 episodes. And that led to this full-length featured film. But I think the motivation behind all of it was the same motivation behind the books that I've written. My first book, Holy Lockdown, Does the Church Limit Black Progress? And my second book, The New Doubting Thomas, The Bible, Black Folks, and Blind Belief. Being from Cincinnati, you know, if you didn't go to church, it may have been frowned upon, but it was tolerable. But if you didn't go to church down south when I moved to Atlanta 18 years ago, it was almost like a death sentence.
Mm. Right.
And so people were asking me what church I went to before they would ask me my name. They were trying to recruit me on a daily basis. And so I, you know, realized that the church was just big business, and so I just felt compelled to write something about it. I had my, you know, been a skeptic since I was, you know, in my early 20s, and I knew I had the ability to do it, so I just took it upon my shoulders to do it.
I don't know if you get this question a lot. When you're an activist, because I consider you an activist, and when you're an activist, no matter what kind, you get this question often. I'm going to ask it as if I'm one of those assholes would ask it.
Okay.
What's the harm? If it brings some kind of comfort and peace, why are you so opposed to it? That's what everybody likes to ask us, activists. Why do you want to take away this one thing in their community that is giving them some comfort?
Well, you know, you're right. I get that. You know, it brings hope to the community. It gives us comfort. But I think we should be asking the question, what are the societal conditions that require one group of people to need more hope than the next group of people?
Right.
Let's address that. Why are African Americans disproportionately delusional? I want to make clear that these patterns of thinking and behavior that are in the movie are present in all groups. I think that it's just in the African American community, I think that it's just disproportionate. But why are African Americans in such need of hope in the first place? What are the social conditions that speak to that? And also, you know, you make the claim that the truth shall make you free. That's what the religious community does. Mm-hmm. But you operate from a paradigm based off of delusion.
Yeah. Right.
And it's almost like secondhand smoke. You don't feel it harming you. It's a very insidious institution. And then you are into it for decades, and you look up, and there's nothing accomplished. There's no ownership. There's problems all around you. And you keep doing the same thing. You keep praying to the same God. You keep having the same rhetoric, the sermonic rhetoric being reheated over and over in church. And so you, by definition, you are clinically insane because you're expecting something different, but you never get it.
It does serve to pacify, too. I mean, that's the reason I love the movie. That's the reason I'm glad that you're screaming this to anybody who will listen, because it serves to pacify. I look at religion, no matter who it gets into and whose life it robs, as a Ponzi scheme. That's how I see religion. If we can just convince somebody long enough that this thing that we're selling them will eventually turn into some great reward.
A cure.
A great reward. Yeah. If you'll just shut up long enough, you'll get your fucking reward. That's what it does. And that's more profound in the black community than it is in the white community with regard to what religion does. It pacifies black people so that they just set back, they take the shit, they don't fight for the rights, they don't fight for against the fucking the oppression that's still very, very prevalent. We've gotten a lot better. We haven't gotten right yet.
Well, there are studies that show that intermittent prayers that are perceived to be answered are better than, you know, like if you ask 1,000 prayers, of course it would get pretty boring and non-eventful if all of those prayers were answered.
Oh, wow.
So you actually get more gratification with intermittent prayers being answered than you do every single prayer, because now it's a big deal.
Right.
And now I can look back at this thing and say, wow, he actually did it. And that's where this, you know, just wait up on the Lord and you shall mount with, you know, with wings.
Right.
So
it's like winning the lottery.
It's kind of like playing the lottery. You play 52 fucking times a year.
Yeah.
You win once every 10 years, and that's the time that God was paying attention, and he answered your damn prayer.
Right.
Think about it. If black people had so much faith in God, why do we buy more than one lottery ticket?
All right, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to a few of our listeners. Philip, Booger Bender, Carl Barrett, Dar Emery, Hi Mom, Justin Longerich, One Setter, BJ, 10-Foot Vagina, McGrimley, Jonesy, Jax T, Sardu Numspa, Aussie Poofter Cunt.
What?
Carbon Kyle, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. These were some of the people. Don't laugh.
Those names are awesome.
These are some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
When you come to the Wall of Reason, you can pick a name. You can type in whatever you want to be whomever you want. And I just love that somebody came in and was the 10-foot vagina. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Steve Hill, Jeremiah Kamara, and Stephen Paul Leyva.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yes.
The Supreme Court today heard a case about this township that was sued by one atheist and one Jew for having Christian prayers before their city council.
Right.
It's gone up to the Supreme Court. This is not unusual. This is to be expected. What was slightly unusual is the township who wants to keep their Christian prayers is being supported by the Obama administration.
Right.
Now, Richard Dawkins and several other well-known
and
atheists
Heather
and what have you have sort of made the assumption that, you know, Obama probably really is an atheist, but he has to say he's a Christian for political things.
Step up to the mic, Heather.
I'm not quite sure that's the case.
I don't think it is.
Didn't we discuss that, Heather?
We did.
Mm-hmm. And we know. Yeah. We're true believers. He's an atheist.
You're positive he's an atheist?
I'm positive he's
an atheist. Sitting in the highest, most powerful chair in the nation and supporting this abomination against the Constitution. Explain why an atheist would do that. Yeah, he didn't have to.
Yeah, he could have just been quiet about it.
Right, he could have, because he doesn't have any more elections.
Right.
But think about the next Democrat that runs for office.
Hillary.
Obama's going to have to endorse that Democrat. Right. Now, would you want an endorsement from an atheist? Raise your hand.
But he wouldn't be an atheist.
Okay.
He would be. If he came out as an atheist or something that looked like an atheist, or someone that did not report the Christian right wing of this country, how good would that be for the Democratic Party? He knows that. Obama is the ultimate politician. He knows this. He knows their stupid constituency.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Somehow the black church in Chicago became a real focus for him in his early days.
But come on, he was listening to Reverend Wright.
Yeah, well,
you know how they demonized Reverend Wright?
Yeah.
Right.
But, or wrong.
Reverend Wright was right.
Right. Correct.
You think Reverend Wright's a good guy?
Yes, he spoke the truth.
Okay.
He spoke the truth.
But he's a believer.
Yeah.
He's a religious preacher.
But you know what? If you can extract something out of that's true, and he's trying to help our cause, I'm all for it.
I mean,
if black people are going to go to church any fucking way, and obviously we are, because that's where most of us are, then they may as well be learning something about self-reliance.
In other words,
something about getting off your ass.
You like Reverend Wright because he is preaching the word of activism.
Right.
Right.
Don't sit back and be fucked when you can get up and do something about it.
Well, look at the era that he came out of.
Yeah.
You know,
he
was that civil rights era, so that was fashionable at the time to believe. I mean, you know, I don't think that what we're doing now, I don't think this movie could have even worked 20 years ago. I think that the table has been set for contradiction to make some noise now.
Right. I want to make sure we talk about your book, Stephen Paul Leyva. Let's see.
Well,
talk about your book.
I got this Saturday. I'll be down at Mysterious Galaxy in Redondo Beach with several other authors. It's a meet the author, meet and greet sort of a thing. We'll all be there with our books. My new book.
I've already met you.
We're going to do this weird thing.
Hold up. Yeah, there's the book.
Look at it. Oh, there it is. That's the new book, Searching for Ray Bradbury, which is 8 essays about my friend Ray.
You got it in front of me. If people can't see me. What are you doing? There you go. No, no.
Look at Heather.
Put it in front of me. Fuck that.
Right in the middle.
No.
A three-way. Ray would have enjoyed that. Anyway, that's but I'm there with my other books. We've talked about Traveling in Space.
Yeah, everyone knows that one.
Everyone knows Traveling in Space.
It's a fine story.
There you go. But I'm also there with Blood is Pretty.
Now, I don't know about this book yet. Fill us in.
Blood is Pretty was my first published novel. It's a fixer adventure. My character, the Fixer, is a mysterious fixer in Hollywood, but spelled with two X's. Because everybody else is a damn fixer with one X. But my character is special.
Yeah, you probably need to fix that.
Yeah. No.
Is this like the chick from Scandal? Or is this someone who...
Yeah,
it's a
Hollywood satire. It's a satire about Hollywood. I worked in Hollywood for many, many years. But it's also my way to express my love for James Bond, Ian Fleming, the spy shows that I saw when I was growing up.
You worked on Space Jam, right?
I did work on it. I produced the animation for Space
Jam.
Sweet.
For Space Jam.
I know that.
Wow.
All of a sudden,
his puns aren't so shitty, are they, guys?
Yeah.
as people have grown up, I keep meeting people in their early 20s that they grew up with that film. Mm-hmm. And if I wear my Space Jam jacket, which I still have, they go, "Oh, cool jacket," and they get all excited. No one's offered me money for it yet. I would happily sell it for $1,000 or $2,000.
Put it up on eBay.
I don't know how to put it up on eBay.
Really? Is that the world you're in?
I don't do that.
You type these out on a fucking typewriter.
No, I don't. Actually, I dictate. No, I'm not. I dictate.
Don't say dictate. You're making Steve Hill picture something.
I dictate.
After the 10-foot vagina woman, I don't know.
I think that might have been a guy.
Yeah, it probably was a guy that did
okay.
that.
Okay, well, yeah, no we one have. Thinking about that.
You have a literal mind. I've seen him cringe a lot.
What the hell would you do with a 10-foot vagina? I mean,
I would crawl in that son of a bitch.
I guess so. You would.
I would do jumping jacks. Are you kidding me?
I would yell so I could get an echo.
Rent a car, something.
Help me find my keys. We can drive out of here. Is that the old punchline?
Turn it into a tunnel.
Okay, now you're just bragging.
And I don't know why that was funny, but that was funny.
Are you kidding me? And you have to let me know where we are in time because I don't even know when we started because we got a really we have five left. Good, good, good. We talked about Sunday Assembly. I'm going to Sunday Assembly. Yes, Steve?
I'm going to Sunday Assembly.
Yeah?
I'll be performing, actually.
You're
going
to do something.
Yeah, do a couple minutes of
a few minutes
African-American atheist jokes. Call in right now if you've ever heard an African-American atheist comic. Heather, turn the phone lines on. We can't hear nothing.
No, they're on. No one's calling.
Yeah, no shit.
You?
Yeah, this is going to be something new for our LA.
And by the way,
community.
If you're a listener, we don't have phone lines. Just to be clear about that.
Was Richard Pryor more or less an atheist, though? Wasn't he?
Was he an activist?
I don't know if he
was. I don't think
no
he was an
was
atheist.
Then.
A lot of people think Bill Hicks was an atheist. Not that he was an African American, he was a white guy. But Bill Hicks was not an atheist. I hate saying it. Carlin was not an atheist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Neither of these guys were religious people, but Hicks was as close to religious as you get. He believed that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. I mean, people are stunned when I tell them this, but that's what he believed. And his comedy reflected it, and conversations with him reflected it.
Hmm.
So, I don't know about Richard
Pryor. I think with Carlin, I think it was just a time thing. I think he probably felt that the country wasn't ready. For one, think about how many of his audience he would have turned off just
by
using
mistaken.
The A word.
He's not like, you can't do to him what you're doing to Obama. He has been very, I know his daughter, do you know? Kelly?
Yeah.
Ask her. I mean, she will tell you.
He really had some beliefs there.
Well, I think he was a deist. Is probably where he fell. I've never really nailed anybody down.
What about Robin Williams?
Robin Williams believes in cocaine. I don't know what he believes. I like Robin Williams. Always have. And for the record, he's one of the sweetest guys out there. I don't think he was a thief. I think that he made some mistakes. I think that he took information in and didn't realize he was regurgitating it with his own pen. So he made some errors and learned very quickly to stop doing that. There are thieves in our world. Yeah. I'm not going to name Mencia, but there are thieves in our world. And what did I say? And I don't like thieving comics. Robin Williams, I think, is probably at least to a certain degree religious or a believer of a certain ilk, because the only way he got out of drugs was, I think, through the 12 steps. And you kind of can't rely on the 12
steps.
That's
kind of a religious...
You have to believe in something.
Run
now,
disciples in 12 steps.
You're right. That's exactly right.
And a dozen eggs.
You have to have a higher power. Now, I have one atheist friend... Who, you all right?
I was just...
The dozen eggs?
The dozen eggs. That lost me.
I just pictured your ovaries.
Oh,
you, sir.
Great. That's just
eggs.
Wonderful.
Okay,
this side of bacon.
This is your problem, all right? You have too many fucking triggers.
This is his problem.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, way too many triggers.
I'm just over here all messed up by myself.
But the 12-step program, that's another conversation I'd love to have. The 12-step program is absolutely indoctrinating. You know, I know one person, her name is Tat, I know that she's okay with me saying that, who uses trees, I think is what she said. That's her higher power.
Well, if you in the movie Contradiction, Dan Barker, I think, made reference to that. He said, you know, if that's what you need to get off of what you have, we'd rather have you sober than not.
Yeah, yeah. No,
if you have to trick yourself.
Whatever it takes for you to be okay, trick yourself.
I would definitely like to see... I definitely like to see some programs show up that don't rely on the higher power bullshit. I think it's possible to get off drugs and alcohol without believing that some magical guy
is
helping.
We can do a secular step program.
There is one out there.
And I've actually attended a couple. They don't have a big group coming to them. I think it's because secular people don't want to give up their liquor. That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Steve Hill, Jeremiah Kamara, and Stephen Paul Leyva. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Sam Kramer. Tune in next week. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
just as smart as these guys.
I doubt that. And we'll be talking about...
big dummies.
Oh, I see. It's a bait and switch you wrote there. This has been the free version of episode 134, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch!
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Whitey Swam. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Cracker Winters.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.